Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We're in our 19th year now bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this radio station, for you, the listener. And we thank you for all the prayers, for the support. And we thank the Lord for all the good messages that He has given us over the years. And we trust that today is going to be a good message. Today also we have a continuation of a message we started last week, the weapons of our warfare. And this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So you can turn there in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 4. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to get into the message here in just a minute on the weapons of our warfare. But first, I want to talk about what's going on here in the ministry in Kenya. Coming to you from Kenya today, and we're having a beautiful sunny day today. Expected high of 85 degrees. Been having some rain, and it's a very unusual season for us right now. It's ordinarily really dry and hot this time of year, but we've been having good rains the last month, a continuation of the fall rains, and so we're very thankful for that. Have all of our children in school. School just started a week ago, and as I spoke in the prayer time, there are many, many children in Kenya. This is the time when they walk up and down the streets because they don't have school fees to get into school. And so this is a very distressing and painful situation for many people in Kenya. Just between grade 8 and form 1 or freshman year in high school, they say 300,000 children drop out in the country of Kenya. And so it's very distressing and painful for me because many of them come to me asking for funds and fees to help their children get into school. And so it's very painful for me to witness this and be a part of this. And so you can pray about that. If you feel a burden in your heart to help some children go to school, you can stay tuned to the contact information at the end of this broadcast and make a donation. We can help some children get into school here in Kenya. Otherwise, the ministry is going well. We have a full house in the church every Sunday, and so we're going to be needing a new church here in a few years. We're already at capacity, you would say, and so that's something you can pray about, as well as the school fee situation. Well, today we're going to be talking about the weapons of our warfare, and this is a continuation of where we were last week when we talked about the five weapons that I consider the most important in our warfare. And this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians church. And he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." So we have a fleshly battle, it seems. We get in conflicts with people in our family. We get in conflicts with people at our workplace. We get in conflicts with people at the church. And so it seems that our battle is fleshly, that we're continually in conflict with somebody in our life. Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your teenage children. But Paul says our weapons are not carnal, they are not fleshly, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And so when you have a battle in your life, whether it's with a person or maybe it's with an addiction, maybe it's with some stronghold, a demonic stronghold in your life that is tearing you down and making your life miserable, stealing your money, stealing your health, stealing your desire to serve God, that is a demonic stronghold. That is a demonic incursion into your life. And the devil is making a pathway into your life, makes attachments to your soul, and then the devil starts to steal, kill, and destroy your intention to serve God, and steal, kill, and destroy your relationship with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your boss, somebody at work, or whatever. But this is the devil's plan to come into your life and steal, kill, and destroy. Or it may be an addiction. Addiction to alcohol, cigarettes, pornography. There's a thousand different addictions, things that the devil uses to get into our life and steal, kill, and destroy. And so Paul says, we have weapons in God, mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. And so these weapons I listed last week, I'm going to say them again today. The first is prayer, and we won't be talking about that anymore today. Get the message from last week to hear about that. And the second is Bible study, and that's where we'll be taking up today, study of God's Word. The third is fellowship, the gathering of the saints. The fourth is praise, praise of Almighty God. Praise is pleasing to our God. And then the last is fasting. And so those five, prayer, Bible study, fellowship, praise, and fasting, are just the most important five. That's not an all-inclusive list of the weapons of our warfare, but those are the most important in my mind. And so when you partake of these, or when you enact these weapons and put them into practice in your life, you will have victory over the devil. You will have victory, and he will not be able to continue to destroy your life. He will not be able to continue to take you out of your kingdom calling. He will not be able to destroy your body, your physical body, and he will not be able to discourage you. You will finish strong. You will be a conqueror. You will be an overcomer. You will be victorious. And I believe that is God's will for you this day as I preach this message. So I'm going to start today talking about Bible study, the Word of God. And this is a very important habit that you need to establish in your life. You need to read God's Word every single day. Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so if you want light on your path, if you want a lamp out there to light your path so you know where you're walking and you're not stumbling around in the dark, you need to get God's Word in your life. You need to get God's Word and establish it in your heart, hide it in your heart. And so this is a critical aspect, a critical weapon of our warfare. And so 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, that is a wonderful scripture. You should commit that to memory if you can. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so if you are a person who has been critical of God's Word, critical of the inspiration and critical of the revelation of God's Word, that you always find fault with it, that you think it's a bunch of fairy tales or fables, or that you think it somehow is not inspired by the Holy Spirit, I beg you to repent of that attitude. I beg you to repent of it and get in God's Word, accept it, believe it, hide it in your heart. Believe that it is the inspired Word of God. There's some things in God's Word that are difficult for the human mind to grasp. There's some things in God's Word that are difficult for the human mind to accept, because the miracles, for one, are very fantastic. They're very supernatural. That's why they're called a miracle. And so there are just some things in God's Word, and there's little differences, not necessarily contradictions, but little differences in the four Gospels and in other passages of Scripture. But get in God's Word, believe it, receive it. God's ways are not your ways, and so everything that you think about God's Word is not going to be true. God's ways are higher than our ways, and so we don't have the mind of God. We couldn't have wrote the Bible if we wanted to, and so God's Word is true, and it is a lamp unto our feet. And beloved, if you read God's word every day, you're going to be lifted up. Your eyes will be taken off the circumstances of your life. Your eyes will be taken off the circumstances of this world. There is no peace in this world. There is no real joy in this world. Yes, we have temporary joy in relationships and sometimes in work situations and hobbies and all that kind of stuff, sports. But the real joy that will come into your life from reading God's word is that you will have a foundation in your life that will be above every circumstance in your life that tries to tear you down. And this foundation in your life, it's as if Jesus said, the man that builds his house upon the rock, when the storms come, the house will stand. And if you don't have that foundation in your life of God's word and the truth of God's word, when the storms come against your life, it's as if your house is built on the sand, and when the storms come, your house is going to be blown off the foundation. And so you need that word in your life, and it is profitable. Paul says it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You need good sound doctrine in your life. There are many different denominations, thousands of them just in the United States, probably hundreds of thousands all across the world, different denominations. How do you know which one is true? How do you know which one really interprets the Bible correctly? The only way you can possibly know is you have to get in the Bible and read it for yourself. You have to get in the Bible and study God's word and know what it says. Learn how to interpret it. Learn how to take it in context. Learn how to take it in historical context and study it. And then use your mind to discern. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom in discerning and understanding God's word. And the Holy Spirit will help you, and he will give you the discernment that you need to understand and make God's word practical and beneficial and profitable in your life. Well, some other scriptures that have to do with God's word. I would suggest you read Psalm 119, one of the greatest psalms in all of the 150 psalms. Psalm 119 is about God's word. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. And these are the Psalms of David, and you can imagine that we also melt from heaviness at times, and there are times when we feel like we're clinging to the dust, that we're ready to go down to the dust, that we're ready to die. And sometimes people even yearn to die and have a spirit of suicide that takes over their life. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. If you're thinking that today, if you're having any thoughts of suicide, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. God's plan for you is not for you to take your life. God's plan for you is to fulfill your destiny, live out your days, do your work for the Lord, understand your calling, and do your work for the Lord. That is God's plan for your life. And so I rebuke, and so does the Lord Jesus, any plans to take your life, any plans to end your life in a way that does not bring glory and honor to the Lord in your life. Well, Psalm 119, verse 49, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. And verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Your word has given me life. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Just remember that God's word is settled in heaven. And when God spoke it in heaven, it is true, it is done, it is finished, it's good for today, it's good for tomorrow, it's good for all time. God's word is settled in heaven, and no man in all of his brilliance, no man in all of his intellectual capacity can think of anything better or challenge God's word with his small mind. You can study God's word forever, and it will always be a challenge to your mind. And so that word is settled in heaven, and it is the truth in a world that we live in where there isn't much truth. Psalm 119, 105, I already spoke, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. And so just remember that when you need light on your path so you don't stumble around and fall off the cliff, get in God's word. It will lift you up and it will encourage you and strengthen you. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so God's word is living and active. That's why you can pick it up and read it today. It will have meaning for your life. You can pick it up and read it tomorrow. It will have meaning, new meaning for your life, and it will have meaning for you every single day until the day you die, because it is living and active, and it will speak to you in every situation in your life. It will speak to you in a way that cuts between the soul and the spirit. In other words, it cuts between that which is attached to the world, which is your soul, and your spirit, which is attached to God. And this word of God is so sharp, it can cut between the soul and the spirit, and it will show you where you need to detach from the world, and it will show you where you need to seek the Lord and let your spirit take over, because your spirit is in communication with God. That's the part of you that God wants to speak to. We are created in the image of God, and so we want to communicate in our spirit. We want to communicate with God. And so that is the word of God that separates your soul from your spirit. Well, let's go on to the third weapon of our warfare, the fellowship. Very, very critical. A lot of people discount the fellowship because they've been wounded in church. Somebody has offended them in church, maybe a pastor, maybe just another brethren in church. God says, get in the church. God says, get in the fellowship. Hebrews 10:24, Paul, this is the Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews, I believe, says, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. And verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so Paul is saying that the reason we gather together as believers is that we can stir up each other and encourage each other in love and good works, and that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Don't forsake the assembling of the saints, as is the manner of some, but exhort or encourage one another, and so much more as you see the end day approaching, or the end time approaching. Well, beloved, you know that in the world there's a lot of stress, a lot of discouragement, a lot of bad news, and so God is saying, get into fellowship, find like-minded believers that you can walk with, that you can talk with, that you can pray with, that you can encourage each other, because in the end time, the stress and distress, the world of wars and rumors of wars, the world of time of sorrows, we are in it now, and it's going to get much worse in the days ahead. And you have basically two paths that you can walk. You can go the way of the world, get loaded up on drugs, get loaded up on psychotic drugs and antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs. You can go that way, or you can get in the fellowship and you can get in with other believers who believe in God's word and believe in the strength of being in the fellowship. Get encouraged by them, and you encourage them, and you can then navigate and be very successful in this life, and you won't be burdened down. You will have victory. You will have fulfillment of your destiny, and also you can help other people in the fellowship fulfill their destiny and their calling in the Lord. Well, the fourth weapon of our warfare is praise. And beloved, I want to emphasize how important praise is. If you read about the last five psalms in the book of Psalms, from Psalm 145 all the way to Psalm 150, you will see the importance of praise. But all through the Bible, not just the Psalms, all through the Bible, God emphasizes the importance of praise. God emphasizes the beauty of praise, and it's just the importance of being in the presence of God. And so when you are in church, don't just mouth the words. Don't just look around to see if other people are praising. And don't just look around to see what's going on with other people in the church. You get in a one-to-one position in front of God, in the presence of God, and you praise Him, you worship Him, you cry out to Him, you call on His name, and that is the beauty of praise. Psalm 92:1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And verse 2 in Psalm 92, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. And so you can praise Him in your house. You can praise Him in your secret place when you're in your prayer time. You can praise Him. And it's not just through song. It's also through speaking and also through prayer. Just praise Him. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. Verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Well, that's a song I used to sing a lot in the prison. I will praise, O Lord, Psalm 9. And so if you have an instrument that you play, get started praising the Lord with your instrument, whether it's a piano or guitar. Just get started praising the Lord. Worship Him through your instrument. David, King David, used to play the harp, and he was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a songwriter, and he was a person that King Saul actually brought into his court to calm him down, because David had the Holy Spirit of God on him, and he would play for King Saul. And so when you play and you worship, or when you sing and you worship, you are praising God, and the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Well, Psalm 148, the whole psalm, read it. Psalm 149, verse 1, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and His praise in the assembly of the saints. Well, read that whole psalm as well, Psalm 149. Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm going to read that Psalm 150 here, and we'll close with that today. This is Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you have breath today, praise the Lord. The Lord is pleased with you when you praise Him. The Lord is pleased with you. And not only that, is He pleased with you, but you will find joy in your praise. You will find restoration in your praise. And so spend time each day praising God, thanking Him, praising Him with your instruments, praising Him with your voice, praising Him with your speaking, praise him with everything that you have, with every breath that you have. Praise the Lord. And we thank the Lord that he is a God that deserves our praise. He is a God that relishes and cherishes our praise. And so when you praise God, he is pleased with you, and he will bless you accordingly when you praise him. Well, when you see the Africans, I wish you people could come here and see the Africans praise the Lord. These people, many of them don't have any money, hardly. Their yearly income in the village where we serve, the Makunda village, the yearly income is about what we would say $1,000 a year. Some of them don't even make that much. If they're making $1,500 or $2,000 a year, that would be a very successful monetary intake for them. And so they praise the Lord beyond anything that I've ever seen. They have an exuberance and enthusiasm and just unbounded energy in praising God. They love to sing. They love to dance. They love to clap their hands. They love to shout. They love to make a lot of noise on the instruments. And so when you see them praise, it makes you feel good. And I'm sure it makes God feel good. I'm sure he is blessed by it. And the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And so when they praise God, the Lord is pleased. And the Lord then inhabits them and encourages them, strengthens them, helps them get through the day, and blesses them beyond anything that they can give to him. He blesses them in ways that they can't even think or imagine. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We love to bring these messages to you. There is an expense in radio airtime. There is an expense in all the technology that it takes to bring these broadcasts to you. And so we invite you to partner with Gather the Outcast, not only for the radio broadcast, but all the projects we have going in Africa. Help the children in school, help the children at the children's home. And so we invite you to partner with us. We want to hear from you. Sit down today. Let us know you're listening. Write us out a note of encouragement and write us out a check. Let us know that you want to see these projects in Africa continue. And we will be thankful to you. God will be blessed. You will be blessed. And so we thank you for that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.